The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, the eighth step of Anapanasati is one trains oneself, one calms the mental activity. One relaxes the mental activity. Most English translations will use some language of tranquilize, which makes tranquil the mental activity. And the mental activity here is often translated as mental formations. The formations, the activity, the constructs, the constructing aspect, the doing aspect of the mind. So I think activity works relatively well. And we now begin to calm the mental activity. And this doesn't have to be a big project. If it's easy to relax, then please, by all means, do. But it's also recognizing this is a natural process of settling that goes on. And as we get more and more settled in meditation, more focused on the breathing, and we start shedding a lot of the concerns of the day, and we're just more and more here, there starts being a heightened sensitivity to different aspects of our experience. One of them is experiencing bodily tensions, the way we hold tensions in our body. And of course, there's a feeling that well enough, the body itself wants to relax and let go. And there's almost a natural letting go and relaxation, just from knowing and recognizing what goes on. But we can also participate in that if it's easy enough and we don't get busy. We can help ourselves relax more. So as we begin having more well-being and more settled in meditation, at some point also then we develop a kind of a special sensitivity or awareness of the mind thinking. Of course, we can know that earlier and we're letting go of our thoughts, coming back to the breathing. But there's more and more sensitivity as we go along to the unsatisfactory quality of thinking, the way that we start noticing that when we're involved in thinking, it's almost like an alienation from ourselves. That's unimaginable for people who identify strongly with their thinking, like thinking is who they are. And but we realize that thinking is just one aspect of our life, that there's a fuller range of who we are that really becomes apparent as we get settled and calm and more embodied and present here in meditation. We start seeing that thinking is just a piece of what we are. And if we get lost in thought, we actually lose touch with the fullness of who we are, the wholeness of who we are, in a sense. And there's a kind of alienation, even if the thoughts are really great and exciting or important, so-called. But we also become sensitive to the impact that thinking has. So one impact is the alienation. Another impact is that unskillful, unwholesome thoughts attract more unwholesomeness. So if we're thinking a lot of with agitated ways, angry ways, greedy ways, those tend to kind of perpetuate themselves and attract more of the same agitation and preoccupation. And we also start feeling the impact it has on, very subtly sometimes, on our musculature. I could go around all day long somewhat calm and engaged in life, but when I sit down to meditate, I realize that my thinking has somehow created a little bit of tension around my eyes and just behind the forehead, that I'm too busy kind of with life to really notice the subtlety of it. But as we settle in meditation, that subtlety of where the whole tension and tightness becomes more and more apparent. And the tension associated with thinking, the pressure, the agitation that's physical almost in nature, that's more closely connected to thinking rather than the surface muscles that we often kind of, we can relax more actively or something. I call that the thinking muscle. And part of the meditation is to relax the thinking muscle. And so as we feel this, there's a natural tendency for the system, the psychophysical system, to want to relax. The more we are mindful of tension, the more we feel like almost in the tension itself is a momentum to relax. But we can also soften and relax ourselves, softening the mind, relaxing the thinking mind. And certainly this is very helpful, because the more the mind is calm, the more it attracts more calmness. The more the mind is calm, the less we're likely to be so interested in being caught in our thoughts and wander off in thoughts. It's easier to stay focused and continue with this process of meditation. But also there's a very important lessons that can come about how our mind works as we get calmer and calmer. And one of them is that there's a certain wonderful intelligence, creativity that can happen when the mind is calm and settled. That's much more difficult to happen when it's agitated. It's a little bit of a trap for some people, because sometimes they start composing the great world novel they have some great idea for something, and the creativity and the intelligence of the mind is really kind of operating. It just feels so good and engaging and right to be involved in some wonderful creative thoughts. And but it's a dead end for the purpose of meditation. It becomes actually another way of being kind of self-alienated, even though it feels so good and exciting, and like finally I feel fulfilled, I'm doing something very important, writing the greatest poetry that's ever been written. And so to not get sidetracked by that, but the process that got us there is showing us that there's a natural intelligence or creativity or wisdom that can operate when the mind is not so active. That in the principle that the mind operates the best when there's no extra energy, no unnecessary energy operating. And that's a great lesson, and a difficult lesson to really take in, that it can be so compelling to get to worry, so compelling to feel like I have to accomplish, I have to fix something, I have to do something, and I have to think my way to it. And we get agitated and pressured, and sometimes we feel like we have to, if we're responsible, we have to engage the mind and show ourselves, and maybe even show other people, how serious we are in thinking and taking care of things. And that if we allow the natural, quiet, calm mind to operate, then it looks like we don't care. And looks like, you know, that we're just being kind of letting things just go, you know, whatever way they go. But what I'd like to suggest is that our love, our care, our responsibility, even a sense that things are really important to take care of, even then they can be taken care of better if the mind is relaxed and calm, and we don't build up this extra tension in the mind of doing and accomplishing and fixing and thinking about things. And to learn this shift of perspective, to learn how to trust a calm mind and have that calm mind be engaged responsibly, take care of things, is a process of trust, a process of familiarity, of experiencing, oh, this actually works. I don't have to believe in the messages, even from society around us, that I have to be anxious, preoccupied, angry, apologetic. I have to kind of engage my mind in some way to please other people or please myself. It's possible to stay peaceful, and love and intelligence and creativity and responsibility all can operate when there's no extra energy going on. So unnecessary energy in the mind. And so this learning to relax and to calm the mind, it very much depends on our ability to recognize how we're over-efforting in the mind, where the agitation in the mind is, the tension in the mind is, the pressure in the mind, the closing down of the mind that goes on. And so the seventh step is to feel that and to feel what's going on. And then the eighth step is to relax it. And this has a wonderful effect where some of our problems that we have in our lives that we feel like we have to fix and care and take care of, maybe some of them don't have any solutions. But rather than solving them, we can dissolve them. So, for example, someone who wants to know the meaning of life, they might have a lot of agitation around this, even some anxiety around what's the meaning of life. I need to know because I need to know where I fit in this universe and what's happening with me and have a purpose and all this stuff. And there's a lot of agitated thinking around searching for the meaning of life. But if they do this meditation process and all the agitation and anxiety associated with this question abates, dissolves, goes away, then lo and behold, they might discover that it still might be an interesting question, the meaning of life, but there's no personal need or investment or desperation around it. It just becomes an abstract question, and the existential power that held our grip around it has dissolved without solving it. It's no longer a problem. It just becomes maybe an academic, interesting question. That might not have been the best example, but I'm hoping that you can just apply that to yourself, that think about what are you concerned with? What are you preoccupied with that maybe doesn't need to be solved? Maybe more valuable is to dissolve the underlying tension, fear, anxiety, pressure, ambition, greed, that might be the very thing that's keeping those thoughts pumping up and going, and to relax the mental activity. Trust softening the mind. And it's a wonderful thing. So this is especially true in meditation. So as meditation continues to develop, there comes a stage where periodically it comes and goes, where it's really clear that what's really good to do is to trust the calm mind and letting go of all the unnecessary energy that's there. So thank you very much, and we'll continue this process of step 7 and 8 for another couple of days. Thank you.